Hey everybody, this is Pastor Brian Ross from Graceside Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we want to welcome you to our midweek video today and to our YouTube channel here, Grace Life Bible on YouTube. If you haven't already done so, if you would consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell so that you can stay current with our ministry here on YouTube as we go live from our assembly building on Sunday morning, and then also with content that I'm creating here midweek, we would definitely appreciate having you be a permanent part of our audience. Our featured book for the month of August is my co-authored book on J.C. O'Hare and the origins of the American Grace Movement. And I wrote this book. This came out in 2018. And this is a full-length featured church history book. It's over 250 pages, hardback. And you can, if you're interested in the history of dispensational thought in the United States, definitely something that you're going to want to pick up. And you can pick this up from Dispensational Publishing House, and I'm going to leave a link in the description for this. I also want to remind you about our Rumble channel that we've established as an alt-text site to YouTube. We currently have 114 subscribers here on Rumble, which is great compared to where we were at the beginning of the summer. So if you're into alt-text sites and want an alternative to YouTube, we would encourage you to subscribe here to the Grace Life Bible Church channel on YouTube Rumble as well. So those of you that have been following the ministry of late, you know that this summer I have done a 6-part study on the issue of critical social justice in Scripture. And I used this book here by Bodie Buckham, Fault Lines, The Social Justice Movement and Evangelicals' Looming Collapse, as a way of framing that conversation. And we finished that study last week when we gave our last installment in what I wanted to cover there. Now, before we move on, I just want to say there's a lot more things in this book that are worthy of your time that I have elected not to cover because this series needed to come to an end at some point, and I didn't want to cover every single little detail that is in this book, but I do commend it to you. I will still include a link to it in this video if you are interested in picking up a copy of Fault Lines. It is definitely worth your time. And also, I'm going to include the playlist for the entire series here on critical social justice and Scripture. So if you missed that information, if you want a neat and tidy way to get all of it, I'm going to include a link to this playlist in the description for this video. So what I want to talk about today is I want to give you an update about my adult Sunday school class, From This Generation Forever, A Study of God's Promise to Preserve His Word. So back in 2015 now, we've been at this for a long time, I started this class in the adult Sunday school time at Grace Life Bible Church. And in the first term, we looked at the issue of inspiration. So that was the school year of 2015-2016. In 2016-2017, we looked at the issue of preservation, and we talked all about preservation, studied that doctrine, sought to understand what it taught. Then I had to take a year off because I needed to work on some continuing education credits for my secular job. And then when we came back after a year break, we talked about canonicity and transmission. And then the last 2 years, really, we've been studying the history of the English Bible. And we started with the fall of Constantinople. We talked about how manuscripts made their way into Western Europe. Greek manuscripts made their way into Western Europe because of the fall of Constantinople. We talked about the invention of the printing press. We talked about the Wycliffe Bible. Many, many things we've discussed. And we've worked our way now up in time. We've gone all the way from Tyndale all the way to the Reims New Testament. And we've sought to understand what was going on with the English Bible all the way up until the year basically 1600, which is where we are now. On September 12th, I'm going to be resuming this class after a break for the summer. I've been reading, studying, trying to get myself prepared in advance for what I want to be talking about here as we start the next term. But on September 12th, we're going to be starting the next term, and we have finally arrived at a place now where we are going to do a evaluation, historical exposition and evaluation of the process that was actually used to create the King James Bible. Now, I have a lot of books on my bookshelves in here in my office talking about different aspects of this and the manner and the method that was used to create the King James Bible. But what I want to focus on is the uncovery. We'll talk about a lot of things, okay? But one of the things I'm excited to talk about are the three primary documents that have been discovered in libraries in Great Britain that speak to the process of the King James Bible. We have more information and more data on what happened than we have at any other time. And when the King James Only movement began, as it's currently constituted, the train left the station, if you will, without a working knowledge of these three primary documents. And I'm excited to be incorporating this information into my presentations that I'm going to be making in this class. So this class is going to restart on Sunday, September 12th. We do live stream it, but we have up to right now, when I ended this in June, or the end of May, for the term, we have 150 lessons in this series, and we ended by talking about the Reims New Testament. Now, you could pick up and get caught up or check this out in two different formats, okay? The first is the From This Generation Forever blog spot, and I'll have a link to this in the description for the video. But it's this goes all the way back and includes other resources, other things that I've done, videos I've taught at other places, and some links to some outside resources for you to consider here. So if you haven't done that, you should check that out. And again, this is the From This Generation Forever blog spot. And then we also have an alternative format on the church's website that just lists the studies. So this would be on the Grace Life Bible Church website. If you click on School of Theology, you would want to select the option for From This Generation Forever, a study of God's promise to preserve his word. And then you'll find it in this format listed out by lesson. Okay, so we'll just open this up so that you can see what I'm talking about here. If you choose this route to check this out, every lesson is organized with a video recording of the lesson, the audio option to download to listen to live right here or download the MP3, and then also a link to the notes that I use to teach that particular lesson. So you got two different formats you could choose from. You could go to the blog spot or you could go to the website. You're going to get the same information pretty much, except it's just going to be organized a little bit differently, okay? Now, before we go, I just want to just sort of wet your whistle a little bit here on these three primary documents, okay? I want to talk about each one of them. I want to talk about where you can access a representation of each one of them. And then I want to look at one example of how these things work together in conjunction with a 1611 King James Bible to understand how the translators were doing their work and how they literally took a 1602 Bishop's Bible and revised it into what is now known as the King James Bible. Okay. Now I did a whole lesson in this on this particular idea. Rule number one given to the translators was that they were to follow the Bishop's Bible unless the truth of the original said otherwise. So to accommodate rule number one, the King's printer printed 40 unbound copies of the bishop of a 1602 Bishop's Bible and gave it to the different translating companies to work off of as their base text. This is what rule number one said to do. Okay. Now we have at the Bodleian Library in Great Britain, we have a document that is known as Bod 1602. Okay. So here's an image from the Bodleian Library. You can see Bodleian Library English 1602 B1. This is a 1602 Bishop's Bible that has the handwritten notations and corrections, revisions of the King James translators. So the particular passage you're looking at here is from 2 Samuel chapter 17, and you can see how the King James translators reached into this and edited it and revised it and turned it into what would become the 1611 King James Bible through their revisions of this 1602 base text. Now, one of the lessons that I covered in the last term was addressing the idea a great many King James advocates have asserted, falsely asserted in my mind, that they didn't take rule number one very seriously and that they really were working off of Tyndale, not the Bishop's Bible. Well, the evidence such as this that survives, that literally shows them making changes to the text of a 1602 Bishop's Bible speaks highly otherwise. The reason so much Tyndale shows up in a bishop's Bible, or excuse me, in a King James Bible ultimately, is because a ton of Tyndale shows up in the bishop's Bible. So the bishop's Bible, and we've gone through all of this history, okay, this is the base text then for what becomes the King James Bible. And here you can see in this image from Bod 1602, the handwritten translational decisions and choices of the King James translators that then change the bishop's Bible into what becomes the King James. Okay, now, you can access this information or a great many details about this through Ward Allen's book, The Coming of the King James Gospels. Okay, now, I have a copy of this in my library behind me, and what this does is it takes this and it lays it out and explains how Bod 1602 informs the process of the King James translators, and then he faithfully reproduces the, and this is only for the Gospels, okay? It's not for the whole Bible. It's only for the Matthew through John, and he reproduces the editorial changes and shows you how they are making these changes in the 1602 Bishop's Bible and how that becomes the King James, okay? Explains the process. Very, very fascinating information. So you can access this information through purchasing this book if you want to, okay? Now, there's another document. The second document that I want to mention to you is a document known as Manuscript 98. And Manuscript 98 is a document that was produced by the Westminster Company that worked on the epistles. So this is the group that worked on the Pauline epistles and the, you know, the general epistles, from Hebrews to Jude, okay? And they created a document here that they were working off of called Manuscript 98. And you can see that, and this is in the Library of Lambeth Palace, in also in England. And here you can see the beginning of the Epistle of Paul, of St. Paul, the Epistle of Paul, the Apostle, to the Romans. And here we have, you know, we have chapter 1 here. See if I can navigate this a little bit. But you can see that what they've done is they've taken the bishop's text and they've handwritten it here and they've left themselves columns from which to be able to make changes and verses that are left blank. So here we have Romans chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2 seem to indicate or do indicate places where they felt no need to change the text of the bishop's Bible. So this is all very interesting. This is the second document. This is the manuscript that that translational company produced. And Ward Allen, again, has granted access to this through his 1977 publication. Let me just check that date. I think that's right, 1977. Yep, 1977, on Translating the New Testament Epistles, 1604 to 1611, a manuscript of King James's Westminster Company. So here's the second of the three primary documents that are available now for people to look at and to understand the process. It is my understanding and my contention that Manuscript 98 represents an early stage of the work as we consider the process. My point is we can look behind the curtain of what was going on with the translators and what they were doing and how they were making their choices, etc., in a way that we've never been able to before through being able to look at these documents and understand them and then chart them out and lay things out so that a real good understanding of what was going on can be arrived at, okay? A lot of the process up to this point has been somewhat shrouded in mystery. We don't have the final draft that was given to the printer, okay? But we do have a lot that we can discern by looking at these three documents. The third one that I want to mention, the third document that I want to mention is Translating for King James, And this is the original copy of this, but Translating for King James, being a true copy of the only notes made by a translator of King James's Bible, the authorized version as the final committee review by John Boyce, and this was published in 1969. Now, this is the original copy. This is, you know, a lot of money. Wow, that's a lot of money. I have one of these. I didn't pay $900 for it. I bought it about 5-6 years ago. I think I might have paid $100 for it, but I didn't pay quite that much. But you have a paperback option here on this purple one that I originally showed you here that would be considerably cheaper if somebody wanted to buy one of these. I had a paperback one and I had the other one. I'd accidentally bought both. I didn't realize that I was buying the same thing. I kept the hardback one from 1969 and gave away the paperback copy. But anyway, these are the notes of John Boyce. John Boyce, and this is the third primary document that speaks to the process. John Boyce sat on the final committee review of the King James Bible, and he's the only one that we know of that took notes on the proceedings. So this contains the notes of a translator as the committee is going through the final review for the King James Bible. So we have here three primary documents. They represent different stages of the process, and they speak to what was actually going on with the King James translators. So when we get into the class and the class resumes, we're eventually going to arrive at a point where we're going to be talking about each one of these three documents in much more detail, and then trying to show and illustrate to people and cause them to have an understanding of how these documents were used then to how we can use these documents, to arrive at a better understanding of what actually happened with the King James Bible. So for a history guy like me, this stuff is just awesome. All right. I love this stuff. And I think that people will like it too as they get a better appreciation of what is going on. Now, let me just give you one example here. Okay. So I took this image. This is from a bishop's Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 3. This is from a bishop's Bible, and here's the way it read. And I will bring again all the people unto thee, and when all shall return, the man whom thou seekest being slain, all the people shall be in peace. So this is what the King James translators inherited. We're only looking at one verse here, okay? So this is what they inherited in the bishop's Bible, in the 1602 bishop's Bible, all right? This is what the reading was. Now, we can come back over here to our image from the Bodleian Library, and we can see here verse 3, all right? Now, and I will, so this is what we just read, but just on the page. And we'll bring again all the people unto thee, and when all shall return, the man whom thou seekest being slain, all the people shall be in peace. Now, you'll notice here that in Bod 1602, they've struck this part out of the verse. They've struck this part out of the verse. And they've made different changes and additions up here to different parts of the verse, right? So they take, so now these are their changes that they're making to the bishop's Bible. And we can go over here now. We can look at the 1611 King James and we can see the results of that process. Here's verse 3. And we're going to read it here just because it's a little bit easier to see. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned, so all the people shall be in peace. So you can see that the King James Bible, that the final reading of the 1611 King James Bible represents the editorial changes and revisions made to the 1602 Bishop's Bible by the King James translators. This part is removed from the verse. This part is removed from the verse. A couple wording alterations and so forth are made here. And the end result of that is that we get this reading right here in 2 Samuel chapter 17 in the King James Bible. And we can actually now understand and look at how the bishop's Bible was revised into what ultimately became the King James Bible. So this is really fascinating stuff. This is really interesting material to look at and to consider as we think through the process of the King James and really try to get to the bottom of this and understand it in maybe for a lot of folks, maybe even in a new way. So I'm really excited about the start of my class on September 12th, where we're going to get into this. Now, when the class starts, there's some other things we need to talk about a little bit before we get to this point. But I'm really excited to be able to talk about these and to show people how this process occurred and how it worked. So that's cool. I hope there's some interest in that. And again, if you want to look at what I've talked about so far leading up to this point to understand how we got here, you have two different formats to check this class out in. The first one is the blog spot. I'll have a link to this in the description. The second is just the listing on the church's website. I have a link to this as well where you can pick up this class up. And I just want to remind you about gracelifebiblechurch.com. This is our church website. We go live Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and at 10:40 for Sunday school and church. On YouTube and Facebook is where we're going live. And I want to also mention, folks, our Bible conference. We're really excited about our Bible conference this year. It's October 22nd through the 24th, and we're going to be doing a deep dive into the book of Philemon. We're calling the conference Philemon, Grace, and Action. We've got two great speakers that we're excited about having at our church. The first one is David Osteen from Hope Bible Church in Jackson, Georgia. A lot of you follow him. You follow his ministry. So we're excited to have Brother Osteen. And then our second speaker is Brother Joel Hayes from Fellowship Bible Church in Orlando, Florida. Joel is busy tirelessly with his podcast. And so we're excited to have both these great speakers come and be a part of our conference this year, as well as somebody that you might know of, myself. I'll be speaking as well. So the meeting starts on Friday, October 22nd, with two studies that evening. Then we have a full day on Saturday, October 23rd, looking at different aspects of the book of Philemon. And then we conclude this here on Sunday, October 24. So we're really excited about this conference. If you haven't made plans, we'd consider you to do that. If you need recommendations on a hotel or a place to stay, by all means, please reach out to the church, and we'd be happy to help you with that. Now, before you go, if you haven't already done so, if you would consider liking, commenting, and sharing this video. Also, if you would consider subscribing to our page here and ringing the alarm bell, both here and on Rumble, we would appreciate that. And I want to remind you again about our featured book for the month of August, which is J.C. O'Hare and the Origins of the American Grace Movement. Make sure to check this book out on dispensationalpublishinghouse.com. So we're excited about our class coming up on September 12th. We're excited about our Bible conference in the month of October. A lot of things to look forward to here as far as the ministry here at Grace Life Bible Church is concerned. If you haven't already done so, we'd encourage you to check out the series on critical social justice and scripture. And before you go, I just want to remind you that if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, if you have never come to the place where you've acknowledged your sin before Almighty God, and reached out in faith to a Redeemer who paid the redemption price for your sin by shedding his blood on the cross, being buried, and being rose again the third day as the only total complete payment for your sin, if you've never trusted and relied exclusively on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the only payment for your sin, please don't wait another second. Do that today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for watching this video, and we'll see you next time.